In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
The purpose of the Declaration of Independence was to recognize the abuses of a government that was too big and too powerful and led by people, it wasn't just a king, who were all too inclined to abuse power, and that there was no other way forward but to remove their abuse of power from these lands. The system was so bad and so inclined to abuse that they didn't replace it with their own monarchy, but with a republic, so that it would truly be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We've lost our way. We aren't on the verge of seeing a corrupt government abusing power. We're already there. And we've been there for decades. We just didn't know it. To be clear, it is not the government structure. It's not fundamental problems with the Constitution. What is wrong is the massive power that the government, as currently structured with its myriad of agencies, has amassed to itself and is now in the process of defending that power, like some horrid monster in its lair under the mountain, challenged by a hero and his companions. It will not give up its gold easily, not without a fight to the death. Today, we're going to look at whether we need to cut off the limbs that have gangrene and are so putrefied that they are beyond saving, or can we still treat it with enough antibiotics to drive out the infection and save the limbs? One in particular is our poorly named Department of Justice and its minions, the FBI. In fact, the Declaration itself makes special note of the injustices in the legal system of the day. Then, as now, there was a two-tier justice system. Those loyal to the crown were treated one way, and everybody else another. And isn't that something? The political left, which is all concerned about equity, has completely abandoned the principle of equality, where all are treated equally under the law. Oh no. It's fine to abuse people who don't agree with you. It's fine to twist business and economics to exclude and punish people who don't share your social or socialist views. And it's definitely okay to use the power of government to hound and destroy your political opponents who are a threat to your ability to abuse. And that's what they're doing, using government to destroy. Not build a better world for all, just a better world for themselves and those who will bow the knee to them. They have seized control of the multitude of agencies within federal and state governments. They use the EPA and other agencies to fund themselves with hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars under the guise of global warming. They use the intelligence and justice agencies to wage a propaganda war and unleash their own disinformation. Remember, disinformation works because, according to General Ion Pacepa, the former head of the Soviet Disinformation Agency, it works because it has a kernel of truth. A kernel of reality, meaning the disinformation has some grounding in the real world. That was the point of the FBI's crossfire hurricane that looked into Trump-Russia collusion. Comey knew it was a lie when he opened the investigation, but he opened it to provide Hillary with that kernel. Well, there must be some truth to Trump colluding with Russia, otherwise the FBI wouldn't be investigating it. All of what we saw and continue to see is that monster under the mountain doesn't want to be challenged, doesn't want to lose its power and taxpayer wealth. And while it used to work and plot in secret, now it doesn't care who sees its abuses and just how ugly it truly is. I'd like to welcome Scott Shepard back to the show. He is a fellow with the National Center for Public Policy and is the director of the National Center's Free Enterprise Project. Scott, welcome back. It's great to talk to you again.
Oh, listen, Mark, thanks for having me back. Always great to be on with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are going to be digging into the FBI, their corruption and politics. There is just so much to talk about in the wake of the unprecedented raid on Mar-a-Lago. But we wanted to start with a couple of issues you guys just announced this week, because our conversation about the FBI, I know, is going to take up so much space. And I just want to make sure that we don't lose what you guys are working on in the process. So you have filed a lawsuit in Washington State against Starbucks. They're a homegrown company there, because they had decided they are going to be issuing hiring quotas for minorities. So talk to us about what they're doing and what you guys filed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We filed in Washington State Court out in Spokane because, you know, that side of the mountains, people are a little saner. So we filed in Spokane, and our suit is against the executives and directors of Starbucks, claiming that they're violating their fiduciary duty to us as shareholders when they break the law in order to discriminate on the basis of race and ethnicity. Now, they've set up, they're calling them targets, because if they called them quotas, then it would be that they would have admitted their guilt at the first the first hurdle. Right. So they're calling them targets instead of quotas, but they are quotas, because what they've said is they want 30% BIPOC, you know that term, Black, Indigenous, or people of color.
Right.
Which, you know, once you get down the racist rat hole, that sometimes can mean Asians or not Asians, and they're white Hispanics if they're not woke, but they're Hispanic, you know, all of that nonsense. But they're going to have 30% company-wide and 40% at non-management positions by 2025. And in order to make that happen, they've set up a diversity dashboard so all managers can know the race and ethnicity of the employees who report to them. And then those managers get bonuses. Part of their compensation is based on whether they meet their race and ethnicity quotas. Now, the only way they can do that, if they have a dearth in those areas and they want to get to the quota levels, they have to consider race and ethnicity in their hiring selections. Now, that's illegal, and it's illegal for companies to give employees incentives to do illegal things. And so I think that they think that they've set up a sufficient Rube Goldberg contraption that they're somehow going to convince a court that this doesn't violate the law, but it violates the Constitution. It violates a whole codex of civil rights laws. And it's not just Starbucks that's up to this. McDonald's is. Sure. Lots of banks are. Lots and lots of corporations are. This seems to be the scheme that they think they can get past the courts. So, you know, it's not, I don't think that Starbucks is the worst of the bad actors, but it's a bad actor, right. and we have limited resources.
Yeah, it's also a huge company. And, you know, effectively, they're saying it's okay to discriminate against whites. I mean, how do people like the brain trust there at Starbucks not see the obvious racism in what they're doing? I mean, could they have said that they're going to prioritize hiring whites?
This is what baffles me too, Mark, because flip it around. Imagine that instead of having the scare quotes goals and targets for BIPOC, they had maximum levels for Black employees. No more than 10% should be Black, right? Instead of the minimum should be 30 or 40, because what they're saying is no more than 60% of employees should be white. If they said no more than 10%, 12% should be Black, that would be obvious and wild discrimination. But we all have the same civil rights. They work the same way for all of us. And you can't get out of the civil rights laws just by labeling the discrimination you want to do in the name of diversity instead of in the name of racial discrimination. It's still racial discrimination.
Sure.
And it's still illegal. And it's still, where did we lose the idea, or the left lose the idea, that discrimination on the basis of race is appalling and evil? We all knew that very recently.
Right. The other thing here, too, Starbucks isn't exactly high-skilled labor. I mean, do you think they realize what they're effectively saying is that minorities are best suited for low-skilled jobs? I think I'd be a little upset.
Well, it is weird. It is weird that the limit is 40% for non-skilled for the lower jobs, only 30% for the higher jobs.
Yeah.
That seemed like a weird suggestion.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. I don't understand what any of these people are thinking. You know, that the AMA recently said that it would, in order to accredit medical schools, they had to fall into this equity discrimination line and make lighter standards and lower standards for BIPOC medical students. Well, what's that going to do? It's going to, for non-racist reasons, make people concerned anytime they have a BIPOC doctor, because they'll know that some of that group, not all of them, but some of them, didn't meet the standards, weren't competent, and still got in. So to put a halo of suspicion around all So this doesn't help black people. It doesn't help ethnic minorities. It doesn't help white people. It hurts everybody. Yeah. And Starbucks and you know, the AMA accreditors think this is a great idea.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. Okay, stay with us. It's been a couple of weeks since the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Plenty of time to really think about things since then. Coming up, we'll be taking our shot at the FBI. What's wrong? Is it time to get rid of it? How would we do that? And so much more. Lots to talk about. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Scott Shepard. He is the director of the Free Enterprise Project, which is a program of the National Center for Public Policy Research. If they are not on your radar, they should be. You can find out more about his organization by heading to nationalcenter.org. And of course, we'll link that up on today's show page on iSpyRadio.com as well. And so, Scott, you guys had one other issue I wanted to make sure that we didn't leave behind, because also this week on Monday, August 29th, the Fifth Circuit heard oral arguments in a case brought by two groups, yours, the National Center for Public Policy Research and the Alliance for Fair Board Recruitment, challenging the NASDAQ board diversity quota rule. And this rule requires NASDAQ-listed companies to publicly disclose the diversity statistics for their boards and to have to explain why they do not have at least two diverse directors, meaning women, racial minorities, or sexual orientation. And, you know, that last bit, I just have to laugh at that. I don't think Milton Friedman in his weirdest, wildest dreams would have ever thought that our country would come to this, where board members had to disclose their sexual orientation. I mean, that's just beyond belief. But talk to us about this lawsuit and how these oral arguments went.
I will, but first, let me start with your point, because it gets even weirder. So the rule says that one of these spots can be filled. It fits the diversity guidelines if the person is a member of the queer community, but they never define what the queer community is. So I checked with my teenage nieces and asked them, and they said, how could you even think about defining it? It's whatever anybody wants. So one of the categories to establish diversity is somebody on the board saying, I declare myself to be anything at all, because anything satisfies that definition. It's so stupid. But what's going on is the NASDAQ wants to dictate how many women and how many minorities are on boards. Mm-hmm. And they're starting with a kind of low number. But once you establish the proposition, if this is able to go through, then they can hike up that number. Because all discrimination is discrimination. If this somehow isn't discrimination, then it's not discrimination if they make it not one person, but 50%. And so what the NASDAQ has said, as you say, is that either they have to have a certain minimum number of women or minorities or queer people, or they have to explain to the NASDAQ managers why
the purity
they have
board.
Failed to do that. Yeah, the steering board, they explain why they have failed to meet, those targets, those goals. Well, I mean, it would be a full and complete explanation to say, look, we hire on basis on merit, and we don't violate the law by considering race, sex, or orientation. Go away. But if they do that, first of all, it's not clear that that'll be sufficient for the board. But secondly, it puts a target on their back. It makes them, it forces them to undertake speech, which will make them a target of woke lunatics. And forced speech is not permitted under the Constitution. You have the right to speak, but you also have the right not to speak. And so, I mean, there are times when the government can force speech. You have to, when you sign your tax return, you say, I'm saying true things rather than false things, right? But not to explain why you have failed to violate the law and to hire on the basis of race, sex, or orientation. It's nuts.
Yeah, it is.
And the SEC's, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, it is absolutely nuts. You're absolutely right on that.
Yeah. Well, and the SEC blessed this rule, which it does. And obviously, the SEC is a public organization, did it in its public capacity. And so it's blessing racism and sexism. And that's something that public organizations may not do under the Constitution. No. And so we went to court along with the our co-parties, represented by the spectacular Peggy Little with the New Civil Liberties Alliance. She was our attorney, and she spoke for us in New Orleans on
last Monday at the oral argument. Now we pulled a panel of three left-wing judges, and so you know, that was tough. But if we don't get the appropriate ruling in the first time around, we can apply for what's called en banc rehearing, so that the whole of the Fifth Circuit rehears the case, and certainly the whole of the Fifth Circuit aren't left-wing appointees. We're hopeful.
Yeah, that would certainly be nice. You know, there's a lot more to talk about this, and I think we need to have you back on for this because it sets the tone for so much. And you would think that liberals at one time who used to think about these kinds of things, they would say, you know, this sort of thing shouldn't be allowed because at some point you can have a situation where the NASDAQ says, gosh, only white Christian males should be hired. And so these kinds of quotas are just ridiculous. So moving on here, we do want to talk about the FBI. That was the main focus for having you on because you're an attorney. You work at the National Center, which is an action tank, not a think tank. And you have management experience at an organization dedicated to smaller government. It seems to me you're a great choice to have on to discuss about making the cesspool of government we have now smaller and to strip it of its abuse of liberties and freedoms while engorging itself with powers. So let's do it. Let's talk about this government and how we reform it or perhaps disband portions of it. But let's start really with the impetus for this, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, which even after these several weeks, I mean, it's still fresh on people's minds. People are still upset about this, and rightfully so, because it's completely unprecedented in U.S. history that one sitting president will order a raid of the private home of his predecessor. I mean, it's just beyond the pale, and it's still infuriating. You know, Nixon in his wildest dreams would never have done this. And yet here we have the media making excuses for Biden's actions. So what were your thoughts when this happened?
Yeah. This is far worse than this, and the whole string of events are far worse than Watergate, because we know that there was the FBI supported a campaign, interfered with a campaign. And now it's in raiding the house of the main contender of the other party for the 2024 election. Now, we can all, as conservatives, have our own thoughts about whether Donald Trump is the right guy for 2024, and I don't want to get into that, but he leads the polls right now, and it is banana republic-level nonsense to have a raid on a presidential contender that way. And it's banana republic level nonsense. The case law is clear from the Clinton years that presidents can declassify and take any of their private materials they want. And the laws in this country have to apply the same way to liberals and to conservatives. The FBI has to have the same rules and standards for liberals and for conservatives. They don't have that. The FBI is corrupt, maybe not all the way through. You know, Vice President Pence was saying, well, there are good men and women in the FBI. Sure, but they're not at the top.
Yeah.
And the rot goes really, really, really deep. And so anybody at a management level in that organization should be, everything they've done for the past 7 or 8 years should be reviewed with a presumption of misbehavior.
Yeah.
And they should have to prove that they've acted in a nonpartisan way. And if they've acted in a demonstrably partisan way, then they have to go.
Yeah. Well, I would think pretty much the entirety of the FBI leadership would have to go under those circumstances. But you're right. It's banana republic, but I think in some ways it's worse than a banana republic because a banana republic doesn't know any better, and allegedly we do. All right, everyone, stay with us. We'll have more with Scott Shepard talk about the FBI and what to do about it. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking now about the FBI. We're doing that with Scott Shepard. He's the director of the National Center's Free Enterprise Project, launched in 2007. The Free Enterprise Project focuses on shareholder activism and the confluence of big government and big business. You can find out more by heading to nationalcenter.org and look at the top there under their programs. And so, Scott, we're talking here about the FBI. During the break there, both you and I are just, we immediately start seeing red about all of this because I start talking about the FBI. I get so wound up because their crimes are so freaking obvious to anyone that they are so one-sided. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you've got James Comey coming to the podium reading a litany of charges that Hillary Clinton was guilty of. And then they say, well, but we're not going to do anything. And then they turn around and raid Trump over some boxes of stuff that he's in the process of negotiating with them, working through the courts. Here you've got the agents of the DOJ going in and raiding his office while it's in the process of working its way through the courts. This is beyond Banana Republic.
Yeah, yeah, it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, it's evil, it's partisan, it's horrifying. And you'll remember when Comey came out and said that, his excuse for not doing anything to Clinton's obvious illegalities is that she didn't do it intentionally. But there was no mens rea element, there was no intentionality element to any of the laws he was talking about. It just wasn't an element of the crime. And so she had committed those crimes, and he admitted it, but said, I'm not going to do anything about it. And then Merrick Garland, and this is what we were talking about in the break, that man has to go to jail.
Yes.
And he has to go to jail because he connived with a private organization, the National School Board Alliance, or whatever it's called, to get them to write a letter to allow him to do a further illegal thing, which is to label those parents who wanted to go and talk about the racism, the anti-white racism that was being taught in Loudoun County and throughout the country in public schools, to label them terrorists. And now it turns out, I just found out recently that I've been a terrorist since I was three, because in 1976, my folks took me to Independence Hall and I got a Betsy Ross flag. So I'm a little devil.
Wow.
But, you know, this guy is out of control.
Yes.
He's a little brown shirt, and hopefully he'll be an orange shirt a couple of years into the next administration once they put him behind bars.
Yeah, well, I would certainly hope so. There are just so many of these people that need to face justice, and they're not only not facing justice, for heaven's sakes, they're not even losing their freaking jobs. I mean, at a minimum, they need to be at least fired from these jobs in these positions of power.
Well, but the worst partisans and the most illegal actors get promoted under these left-wing organizations.
Yes.
Did you see that Lois Lerner's, one of Lois Lerner's assistants in using the IRS, weaponizing the IRS against right-of-center nonprofit organizations like the one I work at, she was not fired for that partisan illegality, but now she's been put in charge of figuring out what these 87,000 new IRS agents are going to do. Well, it's clear from that appointment, from that hiring, what they're going to do is be sicked on conservatives. These
Absolutely.
Are corrupt administrations. Every Democrat administration in the 21st century has been corrupt all the way down to its toes. And a lot of people have to go to jail if this country is going to get fixed.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. And we'll be dealing with the corruption here momentarily, but just getting back to Mar-a-Lago, personally, I believe what they were really after was not nuclear secrets. It was not normally classified evidence. I believe Trump had the evidence, clear and compelling evidence, of the Russia collusion hoax and those who set him up. And I believe he had it, and I believe he was waiting for either another round in the presidency or to file a lawsuit to expose it. And they absolutely and desperately could not allow that. And an imminent lawsuit, quite frankly, could explain why they not only jumped the gun, but scooped up privileged information between Trump and his attorneys. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think part of why we see this increasing ratcheting up of lunacy is that so many of them know that a competent administration that really wanted to drain the swamp would uncover all of the aggressively illegal things that so many of these actors have done and put them in jail. I mean, Chris Wray and Jim Comey and all of these other abusers of power, they don't want to go to jail. And they want to stand up and lecture the rest of us while breaking laws all over the place. And they know that a competent administration would send them to jail. And so they're doing everything they can to, I guess, keep the other side out of power forever.
Yeah. Well, and that's really the problem, is that they are doing these actions because they don't fear any consequences. They are not afraid of being found guilty by Congress for lying to them. I mean, for heaven's sakes, how many times did James Comey lie, bald-faced lies to Congress, and nothing ever happened to him?
Look at Eric Holder from the last administration. He just, the things that he did, this Congress is having the Trump officials arrested for. Well, why didn't we arrest Eric Holder? And I'm certain that the arrests will happen in the next Republican administration. I don't think that a competent Republican administration is going to allow this to go on anymore.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, but that really raises another point, is you've got Eric Holder being held in contempt of Congress. Nothing ever happened to him. He never spent a day in jail. versus Steve Bannon, who was found in contempt, and he's facing jail time now.
Yeah.
So how do we get these courts back to where justice is actually blind and it does not look at somebody's party affiliation before whether or not it ticks the guilty or not guilty box?
Well, part of what we need to do is get these trials out of D.C. D.C. is, you know, the D.C. juries are always going to be left wingers because that's what D.C. is. We need to try them in other parts of the country, and that would require change of venue laws. One thing that I think that we on the right have to come to grips with, and or get rid of the politicians who refuse to come to grips with it. Politicians like, we're not a partisan organization, so I don't want to get into that. But what we have to do on the right is recognize that it's not as though we live in a libertarian paradise and that making any laws at all decreases freedom. Our goal isn't to pass the fewest number of new laws. Our goal has to be to pass the right collection of laws to maximize freedom and freedom in the markets, freedom for individuals, and nonpartisanship or balanced partisanship within our civil servants. And so we're going to have to change some laws. The SEC that I work with all the time, there has to be an SEC Reform Act so that a Gary Gensler can never arise again to try to destroy American productivity and politicize our markets. But it has to happen at the FBI as well. It has to happen through the civil service. Yeah, maybe we have to get rid of civil service reform and just every administration gets to hire fire everybody and hire who they want. So at least half the time the civil service is right-leaning instead of being completely beholden to the left.
Yeah, well, we could certainly hope so. I know that Trump had actually started down that path with, I think it was Schedule F, and that would have allowed him to essentially fire anybody. He had asked the agencies to put together a list of people who might be expended or expendable. The only one that did it was, I think, the General Services Office, and they basically said half of their agents could be fired. So there you go.
All right.
Everyone stay with us. We're going to continue talking with Scott Shepard about the FBI coming up, talking about agents of malfeasance and whether or not the FBI can be fixed. Stay with us. And welcome back. Scott Shepard is the director of the Free Enterprise Project, a program of the National Center for Public Policy Research. You can find out more by heading to nationalcenter.org. And today we're talking about the FBI and what should be done about it. And, you know, going on to that break there, I mentioned agents of malfeasance. Right at the very top, probably the headpiece of everything wrong with the FBI, it was James Comey. You know, he should not only have been fired, but should have gone to jail for crimes that he committed. And the biggest one to me is that 3 days after the meeting at the White House with Obama, Biden, Clapper, and Brennan, at which Brennan briefed those there that the Russians had learned that Hillary was planning on painting Trump with Putin and the Russians, the whole Russian collusion thing, I mean, that exposed right there, it was entirely a political operation. And yet 3 days after that meeting, knowing it was a political stunt by Hillary, he opened the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. I mean, that to me is as obvious a political move as you could possibly have, and yet nothing has not happened to him. But you've got the Inspector General Horowitz, Durham, rather, who's looking into this. And for some reason, he's not starting there. I don't get that. Why would you not start at the head of the crimes?
Well, you don't start looking there because you know what you would find, and you don't want to find that.
Well, I guess that's true. But at some point, these people have to be held accountable at the top because everybody below them is just running amok right now.
Yeah. Well, Brennan should be in jail. Comey should be in jail. Ray should be in jail. That smirky jerk who is sleeping with his Peter Strzoker.
Yes.
I think that guy would have a hard time in jail. I think he'd get that smirk removed.
Yeah, real quick.
But that's right. Well, even at the country club jails they send these guys to, I think he'd have a bad time.
Well, we could certainly hope so. But, you know, it's not just the actors that are doing these things, the James Comeys of the FBI and the Christopher Wrays and everybody else that's involved. But you've got this whole system of corruption within the FBI, it seems, where they are out there essentially planting evidence. You've got Michigan, where they was total entrapment. They're out there saying, "Wouldn't you like to kidnap the governor? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be cool?" And so they entice these people into committing these crimes. It seems to me the FBI is as guilty in that situation as anybody involved in those crimes that they then recruited for. You've got the January 6th. There's a lot of information out there that shows these were false flags, that they were encouraged by the FBI, that there were FBI agents among that crowd. You've got Carter Page, who was definitely set up. They lied on the FISA warrants in order to get these issued, in order to investigate him. Again, all part of that crossfire hurricane. You got George Papadopoulos, who was set up. I mean, this notion of creating the crime, leading someone into it, and then hoping to catch them in a false statement so you can then force them to turn on their friends and associates, and then doing the same thing until they can ensnare enough people with enough invented evidence to go after the real target. I mean, it's like spreading a virus of corruption.
That's exactly right. And this is another case where the guy who ran that absurd illegal operation in Michigan, he got promoted.
Yep.
He got promoted to a higher position. I mean, it's just corruption all the way through.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, now we've got a situation where the Biden administration is really starting to rule by fear and terror, and doing so against their opponents, which, of course, keeps their own side in line as well, because they can say, look what I did to your enemies. I can do the same to you. So you've got the raid on Mar-a-Lago, but now you've got these 87,000 new IRS agents. You've got the seizing of phones from the Pennsylvania congressman who'd been looking into the FBI. And, oh, boy, you better not be questioning the election fraud, because the FBI subpoenaed information from Pennsylvania state legislator members who questioned the steal. I mean, these are the actions of a banana republic again. I mean, but again, we should know better.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. But I'll tell you what, if we could, because they want these IRS agents to carry guns and everything, that I think that one of the first actions of the next administration should be to repurpose all 87,000 of them to investigate what in the heck's been going on at the FBI with all of these partisan actions. And if the agents can't figure out, you know, because they're going to be hired to be partisans as well, if they're unwilling to do it with fully objectively and completely, then fire every single one of them. But as long as we have those fire them and hire people who really want to get to the bottom of it and know that the FBI has been corrupt and then use them that way. But there's no need for 87,000 FBI agents to go after conservative organizations and middle-class people who are just trying to feed themselves as we deal with the ramifications of all those ridiculous lockdowns.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, getting back to the subpoenaing state legislative members who are daring to question the election theft, you know, people who won elections fairly and honestly don't subpoena people who say they didn't.
That's right.
It tells me that there are crimes there, and they're absolutely trying their best to cover that up. So looking at the FBI, where are the alleged good guys in the FBI to come forward? The FBI has something like 35,000 employees. We have 20 that's come forward. That's 0.057%. I mean, if that's the sum total of good guys in that agency, we are really in trouble. So,
yeah, that's right. I think there are more good guys, but I think they're afraid because they've seen how much
ruthless
of a target they'll put on their backs. But I think once there's an administration will protect them, I think more will come forward. But the former vice president's notion that it's just a couple of bad apples at the top, that's
baloney.
You know. Yeah, that's right. Hornswoggle.
Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. Come back, we'll ask whether or not the FBI is beyond repair. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're taking our look at the FBI today. We're doing that with Scott Shepard. He's the director of the Free Enterprise Project program of the National Center for Public Policy Research. Find out more by heading to nationalcenter.org. And so, Scott, going on to that break there, I posed, is the FBI beyond repair? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that as it's currently constituted, it is. We'd be better off with no FBI for a while than what we have. I don't think there's any question about that. I think that there has to be some kind of federal investigation agency, but I think it has to be reformed completely. And all of the top staffers, there should be a presumption. If they want to make a case that they haven't been involved in this
illegal and inappropriate banana republic level partisanship. They should, the burden should be on them to prove that they haven't been involved, and they should be flipped to say who was involved. But otherwise they should all go, all of them. And then down at the lower levels, if they're just agents, I'm sure there are plenty of agents that don't have anything to do with these politicized issues, and they should get the benefit of the doubt. But there has to be a complete house cleaning by people who know how to clean house.
Yes.
And without that, the FBI is worthless. I also think that we as citizens have to take it into our hands to act as though the FBI is a politicized, lying partisan Gestapo, and just not accept until the house cleaning occurs, not accept anything an FBI agent says.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on a jury and it's FBI evidence, you got to assume that it's wrong, that it's false, that they're lying.
Oh, absolutely. If I had been on that jury in Michigan, that it was looking at these people being entrapped by the FBI, which now seems to be the standard operating procedure for any FBI operation, I don't think I could have ever convicted on that, simply because the FBI did what they did, and that tainted everything from that going forward. So
that's right. I wouldn't have convicted under any circumstances.
Well, but then the problem is you've also got the judge in that case essentially allowing the FBI to continue with that kind of procedure, that it's okay to entrap people. I mean, that's another huge aspect of this, is it's not just the FBI, it's the justice system itself that is allowing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the corruption and the rot are certainly deep.
Well, from the outside in on that one, how is it that you can hold the FBI agents accountable? If, for example, in the Michigan case, could you sue the FBI and bring criminal charges against them, or are they above the law and can't be held responsible for what they do?
Well, somebody could. The inspector, as you said earlier, Horowitz could. The inspector general could bring charges against them for illegal behavior. They could be fired or sanctioned or otherwise dealt with in-house. And I think that if they behave illegally toward citizens, the citizens can sue them, can sue the FBI, and can sue them at some level in their personal capacity. I think those are called 1983 suits. But I'll be honest, I haven't had Crim Pro since 1996. So I don't remember all the details of that.
Well, the problem, of course, is not just the FBI that's corrupt. The CIA is, I think, also beyond corrupt. Pretty much all
of
them.
And it's also completely incompetent. I mean, think about it. When I was a kid, they were in the 80s, they were still telling us, as the Soviet Union was absolutely gasping its last breath, you know, in the last days of Gorbachev, and a good day to mention old Gorby and Mark is passing, but the CIA was still telling us that it was a rip-roaring economic success. The CIA is always wrong about everything.
Well, you can't be that wrong that frequently and have it be an accident. I mean, it's got to be on purpose what they're doing. For heaven's sakes, they mislead presidents into wars. You got Reagan being involved down in what was it, Honduras or Nicaragua, where they had planted evidence again down there to make it look, anyway, that takes us down a whole nother path there. But I mean, the CIA, pretty much all of the former conspiracy theories have turned out to be true. MK Ultra was real. Brainwashing was true. Mind control, population control, mass hysteria and propaganda, and election interference and voter fraud in other countries. And then they use those tools here. Shouldn't operations against American people by our own intelligence agencies by default be illegal?
I thought they were. I thought that the CIA, after of some series of reforms at some point, the CIA can't do anything within the jurisdiction of the United States under any circumstances. But then again, there are all sorts of other things that the CIA ought not to be doing that it does, and all sorts of things that it should be doing, like getting anything right ever, that it still fails to do. These are the guys who thought there, or said they thought there were weapons of mass destruction. These are the guys who, the yellow cake, these are the guys who always get everything wrong, and yet we're supposed to have respect for their prowess and allow them
to fudge the law at the margins because of the great work they do. Well, it's terrible.
Yeah. Well, but we just see so much of their interference, and even organizations like USAID, which is part of the CIA, of course, they go into Syria, they create these false flag operations there where Assad allegedly bombed these buildings, and yet they're bringing kids out from under the rubble who look like they just took a bath, not a scrap of dust on them. So it's absolutely crazy. All right, let's go ahead and take a break there. Come back, we'll talk about reforming some of these agencies and what else we can do. Stay with us. And welcome back in our final segment now here on the iSpy Radio Show. We've been talking to Scott Shepard. He's an attorney and the director of one of National Center's project, Free Enterprise Project, which seeks to hold woke corporations accountable. If you have shares in a woke company, don't sell them, at least not all of them. Keep some to vote and join with the Free Enterprise Project on their shareholder actions. And, you know, Scott, in this last segment here, we're trying to look at reforming these agencies. You know, when you've got corrupt people like Comey, and the ones before him, like Mueller, or after him, like Chris Wray, they will insist, because they are corrupt, that the HR department hire and promote people like themselves, who are also partisan hacks and not afraid to be it. When you have that much corruption at the top, even if you started with all of the best people, it would only take about 20 years to corrupt it so badly you couldn't reform it. And that's why I really think the FBI just needs to simply go.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing it just be shut down, and then we build something else with a new set of laws and directives and protections against misdeed and protections against partisanship. It might be. I don't think there's enough good there that it has to be saved. There's nothing unique and essential about the FBI, and it's been corrupt all the way. Yeah. I mean, you remember all the stories from the Hoover days.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been bad from the jump.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, certainly ever since he got involved and took it over and redid everything. Yeah, it totally went downhill quick. So part of the problem, it seems, is we don't have an agency within the government to keep an eye on other agencies. In other words, isn't it the FBI and DOJ who investigates wrongdoing at the FBI and DOJ? I mean, that's a big problem if that's the case, because if you ask Al Capone to go investigate Al Capone, I'm pretty sure he'd say he was innocent.
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, it's all these monstrous partisan hacks, illegal actors covering for one another, and getting more and more arrogant and sanctimonious as they do so.
Yes.
It really is remarkable to me that Comey was Obama-level sanctimonious while he was obviously behaving in torrid and squalid ways and partisan ways. And it's just appalling to me. It's not just that you're awful. It's you're awful and hectoring and smug.
Well, and you're absolutely right. But isn't that correct, though, that we don't really have a third party to look into the FBI and DOJ and what they're really doing? I mean, they effectively rely on internal watchdogs to keep themselves pure and holy. But you really need somebody from outside that agency to investigate what's wrong. Do I have that incorrect?
I think you're absolutely right. I think what we've seen over the past few years is that inspector generals are fine, but insufficient. And you're right. You need somebody who these organizations can't threaten, that they're not friends with, that they're not covering their backs. We used to do that with special counsels and independent counsels. How is there not an independent counsel looking into Hunter Biden's laptop into the guy who just got fired for hiding the laptop before the 2020 election? How's there not there's a whole series of special counsels and independent counsels looking into all of this?
Yeah.
Well, we know why. It's because Merrick Garland is profoundly corrupt. And remember, this is the guy who Barack Obama wanted to put on the Supreme Court.
Oh, I know. That to me has just been horrifying as we've watched him. I could not imagine him being on the Supreme Court right now. Just absolutely horrifying. So you were talking a little bit about this during the break. Let me back up. I think what's really wrong right now is that the people in the FBI and some of these agencies, and I'm talking about widespread all across the government, the SEC included, as you said, they just have no fear, no fear of retribution, because they know that, they can go ahead and raid a former president's home And the next president would never do that because they know how unseemly it would look. So is it time that Republicans start treating Democrats the way that Democrats treat Republicans? I know there's this notion that, oh, we can't treat others the way that they did to us. That would be unseemly. And yes, that's true. But at the same time, it seems to me that until somebody does to them what they do to everybody else, they will continue to do it to us. And there will ever more be a two-tiered system until we all agree that this shouldn't be done by either side.
No, I think that's absolutely right. I think that at some point in late 2025, they ought to frog march Merrick Garland out of his house at 4:30 in the morning with his hands
in his underwear.
But that's right, in his underwear with his hands locked behind his back, and do to him all of the things that have been done to the actors in the previous administration, because God knows he's corrupt enough to have earned it. And you're right, unless we play by the same rules that are
used
being played
us.
Against
yep.
us, mm-hmm. then we're going to keep. And I don't want to smugly again, but daintily lose, as so many Republicans over the years have been so excited to do. We're talking about whether this is going to remain a free and vibrant country or mm-hmm. whether it's going to become a banana republic where we're all locked in our houses because of climate alarmism and we're all constrained to small futures because the new racism of equity has been locked onto all of us. That it's that big a deal. And so we got to take off the white gloves and really fight.
Yep. We have to recognize that we are, in fact, at war to save this country. I think once you adopt that mindset, I think it changes how people will approach us. And we need that going into 2022. Hopefully sanity can retake control. All right, Scott Shepard, I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Mark. You know, anytime. And please thank Carla for me as well.
Absolutely. Will do. All of what's happening is part of the New World Order, the Great Reset, which just means unelected people are putting themselves in charge. And you won't be allowed to do anything to fight it or to criticize it. The Great Reset is not just the new royalty, it's the new slavery. I think we have to start with the money. The left would not be able to do what they're doing without the aid of billions and billions and billions of dollars voted to them from the U.S. taxpayer. And that's what a new Congress can do. Congress's one true job is the budget. We need to slash those agencies. We need to slash those programs. We need the left, which is currently on track to net about $2 trillion from Democrat spending, to be completely cut off. Until you take away their hoard, courtesy of the taxpayer, nothing else matters, because they will just keep at it. Yes, investigations are nice and all, but slash the flipping budget. But first, we have to win. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.